This is The Huddle. It's awful. Every Thursday from noon to 2.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
Let's go eat.
The Huddle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, and Stacey Ross. Today we're going to be speaking with Shelby Harris and Kobe Bryant. Before we get to our player interviews, though, we got to look back at the Seahawks win over the Lions, the good and the bad. We'll start with the good. Wyman, the offense, 48 points. Geno Smith, still the most efficient quarterback in all of football. I did not see this offensive start for Seattle, and I know that there are people that will say, well, it's the Lions. I mean, who really cares? They really struggle. Still the most yards and most points by any team.
Yeah, I'm not one to look too much at where their defense is ranked. It's a professional football team. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just... And really, it wasn't – the two guys really stood – well, really, I mean, you could look at the tight ends and how well those guys are doing. You could look at, you know, the fact that Geno is just playing out of this world. He was NFC Offensive Player of the Week. And then Rashad Penny. You know, I did a football 101 thing on him yesterday. His first, I think it was four carries, were for 2 yards. He had no gain, 1 yard, no gain, 1 yard. He got six-yard carry in the first half, and then he just exploded. So it's the way they're doing it. And Geno just looks unbelievably poised. You know, one play that I would point out is the quarterback draw that he ran down inside the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
That was Steve Young back in the 80s.
He
used to run that every time.
Yeah.
You got man coverage. Everybody's got their back turned. But the way he waited for Blythe to come and hit the block and just very casually just strolled right in, he just looks so confident. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if he can keep this up or not. If you compare his numbers to, let's say, Russell Wilson's, he's been sacked.
Just random. Let me just take a random quarterback
here.
Yeah,
I'll just pick somebody. He's been sacked 6 times. Russ has been sacked 12. He's got a 108 rating, and Russ has a 91. 77% completion over 61%. He's got 1,000 yards as opposed to 980. Mm-hmm. You know, so, yeah, he's thrown a couple interceptions, but he's tracking for about 9 or 10 picks this year, which is... You know, especially single digits, you can
exceptional
live with that. So, yeah, it's just I don't know. It's just something. When we asked the players, like, did you see this in Geno? They're like, oh yeah, we knew that. I'm like, no, you didn't. Come on, man.
Who saw this in Geno? This wasn't. I mean,
I don't think anybody saw it coming.
No, because this is never how he's looked as a starter. Granted, he was only really a true starter for his first 2 seasons in the NFL, and then since then hasn't really started a full season. So think of how long that's been. I mean, that's a good 8 years since you've seen Geno. No one really knew what to expect because if you expect in a game, the quarterback you see in practice, everyone's out here winning MVP every single year. Bump, they finally found a way to get DK involved.
Yeah. One comment I want to say about Geno.
Yeah.
He's a visual learner. He sat down for 8 years and got to sit behind 3 good quarterbacks and learn by visualizing and being around them. But DK, I love the way they got DK going. They moved him around. There was a couple, I want to say in the first series, you see 2 tight ends in the backfield. You got DK and Lockett in the slots, and they motion the tight ends to the number one receivers on the outside. Now you got a matchup with DK on a backer and a safety. They moved him around. So I'm starting to slot. They motioned him outside. They took a slant when they had a slant, which I'm thankful to see because there's so many times guys are going to play off on DK. Why? Because he's going to run by them. And then DK has to make a play. DK made a tough play going across the middle, knowing he's going to get hit. Geno serves up a good football. Boom. Takes care of the football. So it's been fun to see how every week there's like a group or a person that takes their chance, kind of leading the charge on offense. Last week it was DK, but whenever the tight ends get involved, these games are close.
Yeah, really quick on the tight ends. 30 targets for all 3 guys, 28 catches, 237 yards and 5 touchdowns. So, yeah, I love the way they run that, you know, the sort of layered bootleg where there's a short guy, there's a medium guy, and a deep guy, and the tight ends seem to always be open. And then you saw the one pretty long pass to Parkinson. I think it was like 10, 12 yards. It was a 5-yard throw. He turns, runs up, and Noah Fant was running the intermediate route, and he kind of butt blocked. The defender
classic
there.
Butt block.
Yeah, so they're really helping each other out. It's just the back shoulder throw to Disley was perfectly delivered by Geno. So yeah, I love seeing those because that was something that frustrated me last year. Is it just didn't get the tight ends the ball enough.
Have you noticed that there is a change in the way that plays are being designed to feature the tight ends a little more and get them open, or is the difference that one quarterback just has different strengths than the other?
Well, I just think Geno is much more willing to take what the defense is giving to him. And, you know, and I'm not ripping Russ, and I'm not saying that, you know, that he's, you know, not as good of a quarterback and all that. But I do think that there were times he wasn't willing to just dump it off and take the some of the short stuff. The other thing is they've been in, you know, three tight end sets a number of times.
Yep.
You know, they're having a lot of success with that. So love all of that. It's, and I think the thing is Geno is taking those things early on, and now they're starting, defense starts to suck up, and then you can, you know, throw the ball downfield like the one you described, Bump, to Metcalf.
Well, speaking of the defense, the good news is that Seattle got 555 net yards, 48 points. The bad news, Denver got 520 net yards and 45 points. And granted, the Lions were second entering this game in points per game at 31. 45, more than 31, though. So they also outperformed expectation, had one of their very best games, well, their best game on offense of the season. And it wasn't a win, but they certainly played well and found the end zone. Guys, I feel like every single week we've been entering saying, well, how does the defense get fixed? How do they do it? How do they change? Are you seeing the same problems over and over, Dave?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I think they're not sure, you know, and that's what Cody, we had Lofa Tatupu on, and he pointed this play out. I went back and looked at it. Cody had a play where he dropped back in coverage, and he ends up hitting the receiver and dislodging the ball. He could have had a pick. And if he's just feeling the routes and he's freed up and he's not thinking too much, you can see him a lot of times at the point of attack where there's a running play and he'll kind of go back to hit the blocker instead of just, you know, going around him. And I don't know. It just looks to me like that they're thinking too much, you know, and I don't know if that just means they need to, you know, go ahead and simplify things or what, but they're trying to figure it out. You know, it's funny, I was looking last night because, you know, there was some talk that, according to ESPN anyway, but there's lots of talk about the fact that the whole league's going to 3-4. It's 50-50. It's 8-8 in each conference. So, you know, I don't know. They could probably make some adjustments that looks a little bit more, because look, when they ran the 4-3, Cody was playing great. And now really even in the preseason, he was not getting off of blocks. And I don't mean to pick on him because,
well, he's a good example though, because I think it's an easy one for people to think, oh, I know of a play immediately with Williams picking up 51 yards and oh, it's clicking, you know, so it's a good example, even if it's not the only error made in this game. Bump, what do you see from the defense?
I see bad eyes. I see the same things that the Seahawks do to exploit a defense, and the Hawks do a great job of this. I complained about it earlier in the season. I'm like, man, they got the jet sweep going to the left, then they're running to the left. I'm like, why are they doing that, man? They should misdirection, boom, bring them back the other way. Then eventually they run the jet sweep to the left. They fake the run to the left. Now the tight end to the left side is going across that mesh on that bootleg. And I see the confusion that it causes on that defensive line on that second level. It seems like on the D-line in the second level, they're taking the bait. You know what I mean? And I heard KJ talk about it, and he said, pop, pop. He goes, the linebackers got to pop, pop their feet. Instead of committing to something right now, your first move is to pop up and try to diagnose. You know, it's just being aggressive, too. You mentioned that 3-4. Your linebackers are going to have guys on you right now, and Cody Barton's not used to having a guy on him right now. So there's some teaching that needs to happen. If you talk to Paul Moyer, man, he sent a nice little text last night to us about Moyer's been doing some homework.
What did Moyer say? Did he send a video where he points with his fork?
No, it was all text. He pretty much said it's not as bad as it looks and that it's fixable. And when I look at it, little things like that, I go, yeah, there's some things that can be fixed. But at the end of the day, tackle, get the guy to the ground, get him out of bounds.
I only left you a minute, but do you want the final word on the defense here?
Yeah. How do you explain the missed tackle that Cody had on the sidelines down the field?
I can't.
There's no way that's him. It's just not. So, yeah, there's something going on that, and I think for him, he's a different kind of player. I think he thinks a lot, you know, and maybe just turn off your brain. I think Jordan Jordan Brooks has probably played the most consistently.
Yeah.
Uchenna has been really good, but they still don't. I don't feel like they're turning it loose. There's something that's clogging Cody's brain to miss a tackle mm-hmm. like that. There's just no way.
He's not being free. You don't think?
It's just not him.
Yeah. Well, and what they've struggled with too. You mentioned Uchenna. Uchenna was NFC Defensive Player of the Week in, I believe, Week One. So he's had a fantastic start to the season. But what happens if other people aren't performing is if even your best player on defense, and Uchenna's been one of those, makes a mistake, which he did in this game, suddenly it costs you, right? Because it's like there's no safety net of great play that's been happening defensively. So going to be a theme of the huddle today, as will some of the improvements on offense and what they've been able to do on offense. So looking at both sides of the coin here. But we're going to jump into some player interviews back-to-back. Shelby Harris joins us next.
This is The Huddle.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
Every Thursday from noon to 2.
On Seattle Sports Station.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, and Stacey Rost. And we're going to be joined with back-to-back defensive players. But, guys, I'm going offense here. Let's start with a conversation about Rashad Penny's huge day. Best game of the season, looking very much like the Rashad Penny we saw at the end of last year, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. He and again, I'll go through it here. He started off with a one-yard carry, no gain, 1 yard, about 6 minutes left in the second quarter. 6 yards, and then he had a reception for 6 yards. So at halftime, one catch for 6 yards, and he has 5 runs for 8 yards. The old Rashad Penny maybe would get discouraged by that, I think. And he's got lots more confidence in the way he finishes. And so I did a football 101 thing at SeattleSports.com where Gino, and actually the week before I did one where Gino could have checked to a run because they had numbers. They had 5 guys to block 4, and they ended up throwing a fade to DK. So Rabel and I, when we saw them run that play to Penny where he ran 41 yards, we had Jen ask if that was a check, and he said, sure enough, Gino checked to a run. And they had 8 guys up on the line of scrimmage, all 8. Rushed, and they pulled the guard, kicked out, and the second that Rashad Penny, and he was very patient, waiting for the blocks to set up, and then he takes off, puts a move downfield where he just totally breaks down the defensive back. I actually felt sorry for him. It looked like his ankle was broken.
Snatched him.
Yeah, so, it's just so much confidence. And then afterwards, just his interview, he's like, yeah, we checked to that one. And then, I mean, he's very calm about it. He's very professional. It's kind of like Gino. They're both, like, super poised. It's like Gino's been starting in the league for 10 years. It looks like Rashad Penny is finally the guy. Now, it took him a while.
Yeah.
It took him 4 or 5 years to get there, but I'm just so happy with what we're seeing from him.
I just like, he's a big man. He's 230.
Yeah.
And he's moving. That's why he felt bad for that DB, because this is 230 running right at you. Can imagine trying to tackle that dude. My favorite play from last week with Rashad Penny was that third and like 16 or something like that, where there was an inverted whistle prior on the third down. They get an extra down. And I think Shane Waldron looked at that defense and said, all right, man, they're going to play off, right? They're trying to prevent the big play right now. Let's just hand the ball off and see what happens. Because right in that situation, you're just playing for field position. Maybe you get enough yards to get a field goal. But when you have the big play ability like this guy here, you never know what's going to happen there.
Oh, they got enough yards. 36 into the end zone.
Yeah.
On Rashad Penny.
He had, an 8.9 yard average.
It's unreal.
Ridiculous. And it all mostly happened in the second half. So really happy to see him, because you're right, man. And there's nothing worse than – so I used to be on kickoff return, which I hated, because you have to retreat like 15, 20 yards. Mm-hmm. And here comes some linebacker who's trying to make a name for himself. And he's, 240, 45 pounds. And you're thinking, is he going to plow me, or is he going to put a move on me?
Yeah.
Because either one – I mean, when you get juked, it feels bad.
Yeah.
And then, if you get trucked and run over, that's not great either. And that's the kind of thing that he has going at the end. Like, at the end of plays, I told him this a couple years ago, and I like to take credit for it, but I don't get credit for it. But I was like, you should run people over more. Because, he's, like you said, 230, 235. Yeah. And he's like, I've been thinking about it. He's such a nice guy. He's, easy to root for. And I'm really happy when a guy gets it, and especially for a first-rounder, because we had him on, and I asked him, I was like, did you feel any kind of pressure for being a first-rounder? I was happy to be a second-rounder. Nobody you know, put pressure on me. The first rounder.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really tough.
Even if you're 32, people are still going to be like, well, you're a first rounder. And yeah. You're like, but I could have been 33.
Right. So, yeah, it's lots of pressure that way, and he's navigated that part really well.
Bump, you found a pretty cool stat about Rashad Penny.
I didn't find it. John Boyle found this.
You found John Boyle's stat about Rashad Penny.
It's ridiculous. So Penny has 5 touchdowns of over 30 yards or more dating back to last season. No other NFL player has more than 2 dating back to the start of last season. To illustrate how rare Penny's big playability is, if you take it back to 2019, Penny has 7 touchdowns of 30-plus yards, trailing only Derrick Henry, who has 8 over that span. But here's the kicker, Dave. Henry has 976 carries since 2019. Penny has 244 carries. So Henry has 732 more carries during that span.
Wow.
Penny is the most explosive running back in the league right now. And that's within such a short period of time. So that's what gets me even more excited. I'm like, man, this guy's putting it all together.
Yeah. All right. Shelby Harris joining us right now for a quick interview here. Going to switch from obviously offense to defense. Although, Shelby, if you've got any takeaways on Rashad Penny, that's where we were just at. So.
Man, you know, strong runner. You know, it was crazy is the fact of, you know, his balance after, you know, weaving through all the garbage in the middle and then being able to break it and break off to all these big runs. You don't see that a lot from a lot of these running backs anymore.
We felt sorry for the DB that he broke down. We think he broke his ankle there.
He gave his best effort.
Yeah. So how you liking it here? Actually, I spent time here and in Denver. Denver's a great franchise. I was looking through to see if there's anybody left over from when I was there because it was 100 years ago. Steve Atwater.
Oh, that's my guy. I love Big
guy.
Steve. Big Steve
Isn't
is cool,
great?
Man.
Yeah.
No, it's cool out here. It's you know, I always say people lied to me though because everyone's like, it's just gonna be cloudy and it's been nice. It's been nice the whole
just
time.
Wait,
just wait for it.
Everyone keeps saying just wait, and I keep hearing that, and I keep waiting. And I thought yesterday would have been like the, all right, it's starting. And then today I wake up and it's sunny again. So I'm like,
well, see, the good thing is like when the Chargers come here or whatever it is, I don't know if you guys are on the road, but let's say some teams where it doesn't snow, it doesn't rain, you'll be acclimated to it. And all of a sudden they're going to be like, how do we even do this? And you're going to be like, I'm ready.
Well, you know, I'm from Wisconsin.
And there you go, yeah.
Like in Milwaukee in the winter, it's pretty gloomy. You know what I mean? So this is nothing new. It's just... You know, I just feel like people have been overhyping it. It's cool. You know, there's nothing wrong with not seeing the sun for a little bit. The sun needs a vacation, too.
Exactly.
I'm with that.
You know what I mean?
Like, 65 and cloudy is perfect. It's football weather for me.
Perfect.
I know it. And I grew up at 90, and I'm done with it. Like, 65 and cloudy, I can get with that.
Exactly. There's nothing bad. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
It's frustrating when it rains every day in June. That's what happened to me, and that's when I was playing here. I went and got a place in Arizona for the offseason.
See, I can understand that, but it's like, what is it? May shower? No, April showers
bring May flowers.
And
what do May flowers bring?
June thunderstorms.
I guess.
Hey, how's the body feeling? You're an older guy on the team, not in life.
Oh,
31,
oh.
Not in life.
Wow.
You know, but you're
currently the youngest person in this room.
Facts.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but you know, how's the
I only have you beat by a year.
How's the body feeling? How are you feeling?
I feel good. It helps. I had 2 weeks off in the middle of the season, but honestly, I feel good. I feel honestly, this is probably the best I felt all year because now it's like my body's kind of getting calloused to it, getting, you know, it feels better just going through the grind of, you know, playing football. But you know, I think for me, just personally, the Seahawks provide so many ways for you to take care of your body. And you know, with the way they manage practice and your workload, it's specifically made for you to be able to perform on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And so I've been feeling, and I feel like I've been playing some of the best ball that I can play.
Love it.
Shelby, as far as the defense goes, we were just talking about our buddy Paul Moyer, who's you know, works with us, and he was a coach here. And so he's excited looking at, you know, some of the things, saying you guys are really close to certain things. So tell us about what have been some of the challenges this year, and if you feel that way, that, like, you're getting close.
Yeah, I would say, you know, well, the one on defense is we just need to eliminate the big play.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, if you look at the Detroit game, and you look at, you know, I'm looking at the rush defenses in general. If you eliminate two of those big plays, you're talking about averaging 2 yards a carry.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's, you know, you have to look at it in the big picture of things, that we're that close from from really being one of those elite defenses. We just have to eliminate all the, you know, the dumb errors and really just shooting ourselves in the foot. We're doing that to ourselves. And, you know, obviously credit to, you know, the Lions. They have a really good rush attack. But, you know, those mistakes that you see in those games, it's just us hurting ourselves. So if we can cut down on that, then we can, you know, watch our, you know, our defense take the next step.
Well, and also you had a three and out, and then we fumbled the punt. And then you had another three and out, and then they threw a fake field or a fake punt, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's – you take out the big ones, and, yeah, doesn't look so.
Yeah, so, like, what's the meeting room like, you know what I mean? Like, after a week where you guys get it done. And I always point out, like, the team, y'all still had two turnovers. You forced still two turnovers. So there's some positives that you can get from that game last week.
Forced two, dropped an interception – dropped, what, two interceptions? Chenna dropped one, Josh Jones dropped one.
So yeah.
Could have been even more.
Exactly. So when you dive deeper, like he just mentioned, Dave, with the three and outs, and then you mentioned the turnovers and what could have been. You guys lean on that and remind yourselves, like, man, don't get down. Like, we're closer than what the outside thinks.
Oh, man, honestly, we could care less what the outside thinks. Because at the end of the day, is the only people that matter are the ones in this room. We're the only ones that's going to get this done. It's either we're going to fail or we're going to get together. You know what I mean? We're in a business of production. And so, you know, it's either we get it done or they're going to bring somebody else in here either this year or next year to get it done.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you got to look at it as how bad do you want your job?
See.
You know what I mean? Go out there and fight for your job. Like this is, you know, this is the land. This is the life we live in the National Football League. And if you're not going to do it well enough, they're going to bring somebody else in that does. Nobody, like, if we don't get this defense right, they're going to replace a bunch of people in this defense. This is what happens in the NFL. And so you go into that knowing that, I think it'll give you a little bit more motivation to get this stuff right. And so, and I get it, you know, they're young and all that stuff, but, you know, they draft newer young players every year.
Yeah.
And so you got to take it as a pro, and you got to take it as a shot at your manhood. You know what I mean? Like, teams are scoring on us. You know, they're running the ball up and down on us, and they're getting yards through the air. So as a man, what are you going to do? Are you just going to let this? You going to let it keep happening, or are we going to sit here and make a difference?
Right.
Hey, great final word, great final thought. He is Shelby Harris. Shelby, we're excited to see out there, see what this defense can do. We obviously love the confidence. In my mind, when you said people in this room, I know you were talking about the building. It also included us literally in this room right now, in my mind. But Shelby, thank you so much for joining us, for taking the time.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, you are listening to The Huddle. Coming up in just a bit, it is cornerback Kobe Bryant. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Huddle.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
Every Thursday from noon to 2.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Here's a second down and 8. Play fake by Goff. Looks, fires down the middle. Ball is caught. The ball is out. The ball is on the ground. The Seahawks, do they recover? They do!
You are listening to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Michael
rookie
Bumpus.
Mistake.
No, I didn't. Well, I'm joined by another rookie here, Kobe Bryant, on with us right now. Kobe, our first time talking to you. So here we are heading into week 5. I haven't even had a chance to ask you how you're liking the NFL.
I love it. And obviously, it's a dream come true. I'm still adjusting, but overall, I love it, though. So
it's pretty cool that, like, you don't have to go to class or anything like that, right?
Definitely cool. You know, you can just focus straight on football. So.
Yeah, your whole life is football. Now, the transition, though, is kind of painful. It's like you got to pay bills. You got to be a responsible adult.
Right.
Yeah, so that takes up some time.
Definitely.
But then do you ever sit there and just go, man, I'm playing a game that I used to say I would play for free, but, you know, you probably would.
Right,
you love
it
so much, and you're getting paid for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, you know, my dreams come true. Every game is a cherishable moment. You know, I cherish it all and, you know, just enjoy the moment and play the game that I love. So,
man, forced to fumble. And it sounded like all week you've been working on that. Is that something that you just developed in your game or something that's always been part of your game?
No, it's actually always been part of my game. I can't really remember how many forced fumbles I had in college, but I know I had a lot for my position I did. But I always, you know, try to get the ball out or, you know, when the ball is in the air, make us play on the ball. So that's been the biggest adjustment.
As a receiver, man, I look and I'm like, man, I'd be so hot. Some dude just punching at me like that. You ever, receivers ever get up and be like, man, chill, what you doing?
Nah, they never say that, but they better know I'm trying to get the ball out for sure.
Yep.
Yeah,
so 9 interceptions. I'm trying to see how many forced fumbles you got there. They don't have it here, man. Anyway, I was looking. Oh, yeah, you have 4.
Yeah.
And the thing about you is that, like, you were always around the ball.
Right.
So, I mean, is there a knack, do you think, for – because the punch-out thing – everything's happening so fast. To be able to concentrate on just that one little spot, that, you got to have like a knack for it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And like I was saying, I was telling the coaches, I feel like, you know, when the receiver catches it, the first thing they want to do is, you know, turn up and, you know, try to get upfield. And I feel like that's when they're most vulnerable for the ball, or I can see a little bit of space. So that's the opportunity to, you know, punch the ball out.
Now, the balance, though, is that, you know, sometimes you see guys miss a tackle, right? If you don't get it. So you got to kind of take care of both.
And that's why, like you said, just take care of both, you know, punching and tackling at the same time. And that's going to actually generate more power for you to get the ball out.
I got to imagine you and Tariq are on a text thread talking about, man, we got the rookies out here doing it, man. You got a pick six. I got a forced fumble. But it's got to be cool to be producing right now as a rookie. And then you got a rookie on that side of the ball with you doing the same thing.
Definitely, man. You know, I'm excited for him, you know, and all the things that he's accomplished. You know, he's doing excellent. You know, even with him, you know, still learning a position, he's doing phenomenal, man. I'm extremely excited for him.
Hey, do you ever talk to the officials? Because I always thought the NFL officials, everybody, you know, hates them, the fans and everything, but I felt like they were always trying to help. And do you ever talk to them about, like, what can I get away with? What can't I get away with? You're trying to kind of find the strike zone right now. Is that kind of what you're going through? And do they help you out?
They really haven't told us, and, well, not the refs haven't said anything to us. You know, but now that I think about it, I should go up and start asking me, what can I get away with, and, you know, things like that, so I can help myself and, you know, share the word of what they try to tell me too. So,
you played in some big games from Cincy, but in Detroit, it seemed loud as heck, man. How loud was it? And what was that communication like with the defense?
Well, actually, on the defensive standpoint, it's not really loud.
They're being quiet
for their offense. But, so that's a better for us for the communication and all that. So.
I like that you said you like playing nickel because you like being sort of in the box. And, you know, and Tariq's the same way, man. He is super physical. And seems like you guys, you like that aspect of the game.
Yeah, definitely. You got to be able to tackle. You know, that's the first thing, you know, Coach Carroll preaches, you know, tackling. You know, that's a big part of the defense. You know, in order to tackle, you got to be dominant. So,
have they sent you yet? Like any quarterback blitzes or anything? Are you raising your hand?
Oh, absolutely.
Wait, didn't Kobe have a sack?
Yeah. So, absolutely. Every time I get a chance to blitz, I'm locked in. I'm focused on that. So,
So you're going into week five. This is week five now, right? Every week, has the game gotten slower from you? Have you? You're taking lessons from each opponent. How's it feeling out there right now?
Definitely. You know, I'm still growing, obviously, but that's going to be every week. But, you know, it's definitely slowing down for me. And, you know, even watching more film, you know, with Coach Shedd, staying after practice, working extra little things, you know, just to, you know, better on my game and, you know, become dominant.
What do you see from New Orleans this week that stands out to you?
Definitely great receivers. You know, I know a couple of those guys over there. And, you know, they have good running backs as well. Just an overall good team. You know, the record doesn't define who they are. They're a great team. And, you know, I'm ready to compete.
Who's been in just the four games you've been in so far, a guy that you walked away going, I can't believe I just played against that guy?
Can't really think of that.
I know. I'm kind of springing it on you.
Yeah, I can't really think of that.
He'll see Michael Thomas. That'll probably be the first time.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know that you guys have really played, you know, where you're walking away going, oh, my God, Derrick Henry was just running at me, and I just panicked for a minute. But you're right. If Michael Thomas is playing, he's got, I think, his foot or knees banged up. But if he's out there, that would be
definitely
one. But you're going to have many of those moments. And, of course, here we're hoping you come out in the upper hand there. All right. He is rookie cornerback. We're going to have to say it for at least a year. Rookie cornerback Kobe Bryant joining us for the huddle. Kobe, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, you guys. We're going to hear from Geno Smith, who hits the podium a bit later today. Also, we've got another hour to come with plenty of analysis from your favorite Seahawks voices. Don't go anywhere. This is The Huddle.
This is The Huddle.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
Every Thursday from noon to 2
on Seattle Sports Station.
You are listening to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, and Stacey Ross. Let's hear from quarterback Geno Smith.
You know, obviously it's, you know, you're honored to receive that award. You know, they donate to a charity of my choice, so that's pretty cool. And really it's more of a team offensive award. You know, just speaks volumes to the guys I'm playing around, the entire offense as a whole. You know, the quarterback gets a lot of the attention, obviously, but, you know, all the guys play well, and I think all of us, we can accept that together.
Do you remember when you won it as a rookie?
I'm not sure exactly the game, but I do remember. Yeah, I do.
What charity did you choose?
I have my own, so Seven Sunday Heroes Foundation. We've been hosting, you know, underprivileged youth at the games here in Seattle for a couple years now. And so that's something I've been, you know, adamant about my entire career, is just philanthropy and giving back. And, you know, we do a lot of stuff down in Miami, Florida, where I'm from, and looking to do more as well in Seattle.
What do you get out of that? What have you
learned? You know, really it's just about giving back, you know, allowing, you know, guys who look like myself, young ladies who look like myself, and just, you know, in the area, some people who may be dealing with things, just to, you know, show them a good time, you know, have them at a game, their family members, you know, kind of, you know, brighten their day if we can. And for the most part, it's just helping people out. You know, just I have a heart for giving and enjoy helping people out.
Is it mostly kids from here, or has it been a mix of you brought kids out from Miami? So
it's been just kids from locally in the area. And when I was on other teams, it was the same thing. And then obviously when I'm back home, we do things like that as well back home.
How much do they give?
For the charity? I'm not sure exactly the amount, but I'll figure that out. I'm not sure the amount, but I think it's something nice.
Saw it in New Orleans just last year. How similar or different are they on defense?
I think they have a lot of similarities. Obviously, bringing back a ton of guys, starting with their middle linebacker, DeMario, you know, Cam Jordan up front. You know, they got 23, Lattimore in the back end. They got some additions as well with Tyrann Mathieu and Marcus May. A few other guys have signed over as free agents, as well as some guys they've drafted. But overall, man, they present the same challenges. Very good on third downs. Presented a lot of tough looks, you know, some things that we have to be ready for and adjust to. And then overall, you know, same mentality as well for them. It's being aggressive. They have an aggressive style of defense. They want to be an attacking defense and put a lot of pressure on the quarterback.
Started a bunch of games since then. You had a whole training camp, all that. How much more prepared maybe do you feel like you are versus what is your second start against them last year?
You know, I may be a little more comfortable in the offense, but I felt prepared then as well. You know, I think now it's just going to be about welcoming the new challenges and all the different things. I'm pretty sure they'll have some different looks and some things that we're not going to see on tape. That's what I think they do a great job at. So us being ready to adjust and just use our rules, you know, and go with what we know as far as the looks, and then, you know, communication on the sideline, getting to different things.
You said after the Detroit game you could still get better. Is there a specific thing or two you look at and be like, yeah, this is something I could do better going forward?
Just everything. I'm always going to be my own toughest critic, and so I always feel like I can play better. In that game specifically, you know, I feel like I left a touchdown out there, won the Tyler Lockett, and then just, you know, accuracy and things like that. Those are the things my reads, my footwork, my accuracy, I'm hard on myself on those things, and, you know, I still feel like I'm growing in those areas, so I can definitely get better.
The other side of that question, what do you feel like you've done best over the first four games?
Just moving the chains. You know, I feel like as an offense, we've done a great job at moving the chains, staying in manageable situations, you know, being really good on first and second downs. And then overall, just, you know, trying to win games. You know, what I'm good at, you know, that's, I don't really think about it like that. I think about us as a whole. What are we great at? And I think we've done a great job at moving the chains and being consistent in that area.
Besides, the whole team meetings, how many individual or like little group meetings are you a part of in any given week as you prepare for a game?
Yeah, we do a bunch of them. You know, when Russ was here, we used to come together and do it collectively on Tuesdays. But me now, I'm more of a, you know, I Zoom call, FaceTime these guys when they're at home just to give them more time to be at home. And I FaceTime them and go over the game plan and certain things that we're seeing. And for the most part, I do it myself individually with each specific guy. And so it's not more of a collective thing where it's what it used to be was collective. Now it's more just me calling those guys and getting on the phone with them and talking them through certain things in the game plan.
You call every guy on the offense every Tuesday?
Not every single guy, but, you know, just the guys who are, you know, we got certain things that I need them to see on tape and need them to see as far as the player they're going against or certain leverages or certain looks.
Russell used to give a test at the end of every week. Do you do something similar like that or at all?
No, not at all.
So you like meet with just you and Shane at all, or maybe you, Drew, and Shane, or you, Drew, Shane, and Dave, or
anything? Yeah, we got all those. You got all those. I mean, it's me and Shane, and then it's, you know, Drew and I and Sean, and then, you know, all of us together as a group. So we're just continuously meeting and talking and texting and just communicating however we can.
How would you describe the sort of the evolution of your relationship with Shane and how that's grown from
last year to where it is now?
I think it's growing. You know, what I will say about Shane is that he does a great job with all the guys, not just me. He's still coaching Drew, still coaching Sean, and collectively as a group, that's kind of how we work as a whole, not just individual. But our relationship had already been great, and it's just continuing to grow. I think as we continue to play more and more games, you know, different aspects of that relationship will grow and we'll learn from certain things. But overall, I know Shane trusts me and I trust him, and I think that's the important thing.
Question's already been asked, but what do you take from the game film last year against the Saints that might be useful this week?
I just think all the looks they gave us, you know, they gave us a bunch of tough looks on third downs, and you know, they're really good in their pass rush and the schemes and the way that they scheme up things. So just being prepared for that, and then just handling the situations. You know, I think we did a pretty good job last year. But we weren't great in situational football, and so handling those situations when they come about in the game.
Gino, I know we're only 4 weeks in and folks in the task at hand, but you're in the midst of doing something that we frankly haven't really seen before. The guy was a backup for 7 years, and now you're in the top of the league in passer rating. You just got off as player of the week.
Are you surprised by that?
Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you told me before the season, I'd be a little surprised.
Yeah, it's because you never watched me throw. Yeah.
What are you making of all that?
I don't make nothing of it. I'm just playing ball, doing what I'm supposed to do. And like I said, it's a testament to the guys I'm playing with and around. None of that's possible without, you know, the offensive line protecting the way they do, receivers getting open and catching the way they do, Shane calling great plays. So it's more of a collective thing versus just me, myself. You know, I know that it's more that goes into it. And, you know, everyone's doing their part and pulling their weight.
Do you take issue with anybody who is surprised by that?
I have no issue with anybody at all. But if you are surprised, it's just because you never seen me throw.
Going back to training camp, going against when Tariq Woolen's out there, was there a moment or play that stood out like, okay, even by NFL standards, this guy's different speed-wise?
Yeah, that was a bunch of plays, man. I mean, he made so many great plays in camp. I mean, I can't, you know, speak on one specific play. But, I mean, just trying to, you know, going at him thinking, okay, you know, if you get a one-on-one against a rookie, 9 times out of 10, you're feeling like, okay, we got a great matchup. And then seeing that, well, man, he's kind of, you know, shutting it down, and it's probably not the best to just go at him all the time. So, I mean, he's a freak of nature. He's 6'4", runs a 4'2". He's got great ball skills, and, I mean, he's just, you know, growing into what he's going to become. He's got a lot of room to grow as well, and I can't wait to see it, man. He's already off to a great start.
There's a lot of measures to success for the offense, but not having Michael Dixon punt in the game, where does that rank as far as measures of success in a game?
I mean, I would say that's pretty successful, not to punt in the game. You know, obviously Michael's a great punter, and you know, he's always, you know, going to give you, you know, something inside the 20. He's always doing a great job of flipping field position for us. But, you know, we want to go out there and score points. And, you know, if that means giving him the day off, then, you know, that's what it'll be.
You mentioned Mario Davis. He really had a good game against you guys last year, if I recall. What's sort of the challenge with him? What makes him unique?
You know, DeMario and I were on the Jets together when I got drafted, and he's always been a great running hit player. He's got a lot of passion. You know, he's the leader of that team, leader of that defense, and he's very smart. He calls the defense. He can get them in and out of any check, any call. You can see that he and the D coordinator, they're locked in with what they're seeing and how they want to play. And so, you know, DeMario's, he's always been a great player, and, you know, he's a really good middle linebacker. And, you know, we just got to be ready to know where he is and, you know, take advantage of opportunities when we have them.
In Detroit after the game, a lot of the guys talked about the communication and how effective you and the offense was getting to the right checks and through the noise and everything. How's Austin Blythe helped you, and what's he been good at in that regard?
Man, Austin is congratulations to Austin as well. He just had a baby. But, you know, Austin has done a great job, man. His communication is outstanding. You know, he makes it extremely easy on the quarterback. I'm not up there yelling all the calls to all the guys. You know, I can say one thing and he'll get the rest of it communicated. And he's just on point at every step of the way. Our communication has grown, is continuing to grow. And Austin does a great job, man. I mean, he's communicating and leading all the guys. And you can see, I mean, we got two rookie tackles out there, and we don't bat an eye, you know, with the protections we're calling and things we're doing. And a lot of that has to do with Austin and the way he communicates and gets guys lined up and gets them, you know, in the right places.
All right, that was quarterback Geno Smith. Speaking of Geno in the offense, don't look now, but the Seahawks having a quietly great start to the season there, especially in the passing offense. Let's find out what's going right with Ray Roberts. He joins us next on The Huddle.